The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The government has serious concerns about the ownership of the land that the new National Maternity Hospital is supposed to be built upon. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar expressed disquiet in the Dáil yesterday about the proposed new hospital's governance, saying the land has not been gifted to the state but to a private charity, St Vincent's Holdings, with a 99-year lease to the state. It emerged yesterday that the state tried to buy the land that the new National Maternity Hospital will be sited upon, but has failed to do so, leading to some concerns about safeguarding public investment in the project. The site is currently owned by the Religious Sisters of Charity, who plan to gift it to a new body that will be involved in the hospital. Now, it's very complicated, so we're joined by Dr. Peter Boylan, former master of the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street and author of In the Shadow of the 8th. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
You could forgive our listeners for being confused, I think.
Well, the arrangements are extraordinarily complex, and that's what's given rise to concern at government level. And the Tánaiste certainly identified the two core issues here, which are the ownership of the land on which the hospital is going to be built and the governance of the hospital. So the land, any hospital that is built on land owned by any religious organisation or their successors who uphold the same ethos has to maintain Catholic ethos in that building. There isn't a single hospital in the entire world where that does not apply. So what happens when religious orders want to vacate, if you like, their properties and so on because of dwindling vocations and ageing members of the various religious. What they do is they transfer their holdings into other arrangements. Now, the Mater Hospital have done the same, the Mercy Nuns. St. John of God's have done the same, the Christian Brothers have done the same in teaching and so on. All of their successor organizations have to uphold Catholic ethos. So what the sisters are doing is trying to transfer their holdings in St. Vincent's Healthcare Group, that's St. Michael's Hospital, St. Vincent's Public Hospital, and the private hospital, St. Vincent's Private Hospital, into an organisation called St. Vincent's Holdings, which is a private company which has charitable status. It has been incorporated, but there are serious concerns about the composition of the constitution of that company. For example, the directors have particular powers. They can sell any of the properties of the company. And the plan is that they would own, that company, St. Vincent's Holdings, would own those three hospitals and the new National Maternity Hospital. And they can also associate themselves or merge with any other international organization. Mm. And that's what Bon Secours have done recently. They've merged with the American Catholic organization, Bon Secours. Mm. So this is these are the major issues that are attached to the land. And everything flows from that. And the Tánaiste has identified very clearly those two issues, which are extraordinarily complex.
So does it mean that because they are, in effect, I suppose, they would be the ground landlord, because it's a lease for 99 years given to the state, which is, in the context of everything, is pretty short, because often you hear of, like, the Guinness Brewery got a 199-year lease, I think, from St. James Gate. So 99 years is relatively short. So they would be the ground landlord. What would give them power to interfere with the day-to-day activities of what was going on in a hospital built by the state and, all the personnel being state employees? How would they get that power from just being the ground landlord?
Because the hospital, the plan is that a company would be set up to run the National Maternity Hospital called NMHDAC, Designated Activity Company. And that company is going to be a 100% subsidiary of St. Vincent's Holdings. So St. Vincent's Holdings would own St. Vincent's Healthcare Group, which in turn would own the two St. Vincent's hospitals, private and public, St. Michael's, and the National Maternity Hospital, DAC.
So, they would own it?
Yeah.
They would own the bricks and mortar that we, the taxpayers, are putting there?
No, not the bricks and mortars. The shell of the building, that is the bricks and mortars, is planned to be owned by the state. But what's more important is what goes on within the four walls. And if that is controlled, by St. Vincent's Holdings, which is a Catholic company with Catholic ethos, then that creates enormous problems. When the Sisters of Charity announced a couple of years ago that they were going to withdraw completely from healthcare involvement, they said that they were going to transfer their holdings to the people of Ireland. They were going to gift them to the people of Ireland for €1. But they weren't, of course. What they were doing, in fact, was giving it to the St. Vincent's Holdings, which is a successor company to them. When they said they were going to do it, they said they would amend and replace the core values, which, of course, are Catholic. But they haven't done that. The core values of St. Vincent's Holdings are exactly the same. And also the directors of that company are obliged to uphold the values and vision of the Sisters of Charity. So,
something to do with canon law, though, isn't there, that in order to transfer properly and to get permission, believe it or not, from the Vatican is required to do this transfer, they have to adhere to certain tenets in canon law. What are those tenets and what do they oblige this new company to do?
Well, basically, they got permission from the Vatican, and this is one of the ludicrous things about this whole procedure, is that the building of a new national maternity hospital depends on permission from the Vatican. But that's where we are at the moment with the relationship between the church and state in this country. But the Sisters of Charity got permission, but it was dependent on them observing particular canon laws. Now, one of those canon laws says that there has to be no harm to the church. So that you can imagine, how could there be no harm to the church if the permission is granted on the basis that a maternity hospital will be built on that land owned by the company which they want to transfer their ownership into? And in that hospital, there will be things which are directly contrary to Catholic teaching. So that's where the land is such an important thing. Now, the sisters said they were going to transfer it to the people of Ireland. I think if they were to honour that commitment, then there would be no cost to the state and no loss to the sisters, because they said they were going to do it for €1. So it would cost the state €1 to get the land, which is what they said they were going to do. And there'd be no loss to the sisters because they said we were going to do it for €1. However, I suspect that the Vatican said, look, you can do it as long as the St. Vincent's Holdings maintains Catholic ethos, and as long as St. Vincent's Holdings effectively controls the board of the new National Maternity Hospital. And in the Mulvey Agreement, the board structure of the new maternity hospital was clearly designed to give majority control to St. Vincent's. And it's all very murky, Pat.
I have always found it offensive that a hospital built entirely by state money should be controlled by someone who is not answerable to the paymasters. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense in 2021, but I'm afraid it's a legacy issue from the close association between church and state in this country going back many years. But with Sláintecare and with the change in the sort of environment in this country over the last several years, and particularly with repeal of the 8th in May 2018, the whole environment has changed. And with Sláintecare planning to be introduced, and that's cross-party, all of the parties agree that that is the direction of healthcare in the future. It's utterly ludicrous that the first major capital expenditure programme or project, the building of the new National Maternity Hospital, should be funded by the state and then handed over to a private company, which can sell any of the hospitals it owns, including the National Maternity Hospital, et cetera, and which has Catholic ethos in its constitution. So the Taoiseach identified those two key issues, and he deserves great credit for that. At last, it's got through. Now, it took some time, probably delayed by the pandemic and all the other stuff that's going on. But he's identified the ownership of the land, which is absolutely critical. Everything flows from that. And then the very complicated governance arrangements, which effectively wrest control of the hospital from the people of Ireland. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I resigned from the board, though, a few years ago. And I just could not understand how all those years ago, in 2016, the board of the National Maternity Hospital were happy for the Sisters of Charity to own the new hospital 100%. I mean, it's just staggering when you look at it. And the longer it gets on from from that time, the more appalling and amazing it seems to be.
The remedy to this, two are suggested. One is one of the News Talk listeners saying, you know, is there no other site in the whole of Ireland to build this hospital? That would be one remedy where you find another place. Now, you do want it to be co-located with an adult hospital, ideally, in case there are major surgery for mother and so on. And we all know about co-location of, you know, to a children's hospital, and the idea that the Coombe would be that wonderful new creation, and it doesn't seem there's room for it properly up at St. James. That's a whole other ball game. The other thing is that the state simply compulsorily purchases the site and says end of.
Yeah, and there's likely to be constitutional difficulties with that. And apparently at the briefing yesterday, it's been reported that the state has tried to buy the land. But the sisters said they were going to gift it to the people. So would they not just honour their commitment and gift it to the people of Ireland and gift it to the state? Now, it's obviously going to take a while to work out these things, because the whole thing has to be revisited, if you like, and sorted out. But in the meantime, one of the main reason why the hospital should be co-located with a major teaching hospital with all of the general specialties is that the women with really complicated medical conditions can have easy access to all of the specialties. But the other important issue with pregnancy, of course, and with improved diagnostics, is that most of the severe abnormalities in babies that need treatment immediately following delivery are now identified in the antenatal period. So in the meantime, while all of this is getting sorted out, it would be possible to build a small unit, maybe with 30 or 40 beds, on the site of St. James's beside the children's hospital. And mothers from all over Ireland could be transferred there when they have extremely complicated pregnancies. For example, somebody with really severe diabetes and heart disease or other things, or when a baby is identified in the womb who needs surgery immediately following delivery, that mother could be transferred to that unit for delivery and the baby goes straight to the neonatal unit and have surgery in the children's hospital. And at the same time,
what you're suggesting, which is a novel, that whatever little bit of room they have could build a specialist mother and baby maternity hospital for those complex pregnancies, and the children's hospital is at hand. Meanwhile, you renovate the Coombe maybe for more general maternity purposes. And then we're still left with the National Maternity Hospital in Holles Street, which does huge business every year, and what to do if this St. Vincent site does not work out.
Yeah, we're going to have to face up to it. And there's always, in Ireland, there's always this thing, Asher, it'll be all right in the night, let's just keep going and see how it goes, and, you know, and just kind of bluff our way through it. But again, the Tánaiste has identified the absolute critical issues. Now, if the state wants to go ahead with its current iteration, it will be funding the building of a hospital which will be under the influence of Catholic ethos. And yet again, the state will have capitulated to the Catholic Church. And yet again, it'll be women who will suffer. So it really is a problem. Now, it's been put about that the National Maternity Hospital is not fit for purpose, that it's a crumbling building, that it's 200 years old. It's not. It was, the original building was not built in 1930, okay? And in recent times...
But it is constrained, in fairness, Peter.
It is absolutely constrained. Yeah. No, I'm not. The new building is superb and it needs to go ahead. However, it should not go ahead in its current iteration. But people need to understand that the new neonatal intensive care unit, new operation rooms, new delivery rooms, new emergency room, there's offices for university teaching, new lecture theatre down in Mount Street. So that the footprint has expanded. It's the only maternity hospital in the country which has an MRI scanner on site as a consequence of a charitable donation. So it's not the crumbling building that people say it is, but by the same token, a new hospital is necessary and it should be co-located with a general hospital, preferably St. Vincent's, which has all of the specialties and it's a wonderful hospital, but not under the current ownership and governance structure. That's the key sticking point. And all of this, of course, should have been sorted out years ago. But there was always a sort of thing, I know it'll be okay. Shh, don't say
Peter, just to clarify, what kind of procedures which would now be accepted as, if not routine, but regularly done in maternity hospitals might not be able to go ahead on the St. Vincent site? I mean, women would have to go to the Rotunda or some other hospital for these procedures. What precisely are we talking about?
You're talking about IVF, contraception, abortion, sterilization, gender reassignment surgery. Those are the main ones. And Catholic ethos absolutely forbids them. And you hear that St. Vincent say that they, you know, they repeatedly say that they do everything that is legal in the state. They don't. They don't do female sterilizations for the purpose of family planning. They don't do vasectomies. They put in Mirena coils, but you can put a Mirena coil in for heavy periods because that's one of its main uses. So, you know, we've got to face up to it. If it goes ahead in its current iteration, it will be a Catholic under the influence of Catholic ethos. And the key to changing that is that the sisters honour their commitment to gift it to the people of Ireland and that the governance arrangements change. Now, unfortunately, I think in order to get permission to give it to the people of Ireland, as I said they would, they'd have to go back to the Vatican and get permission. And they'd also have to get a letter from the Archbishop of Dublin and from Eamon Martin, the primate, and from the Papal Nuncio Occolo with a letter saying nihil obstat. In other words, we don't object to this. And that's what they got, but with the conditions of the canon laws being observed. So, you know, the Catholic Church don't give up things easily. You know, they just hold on to things forever. So, and that's what happens all over the world. There's nothing. So to think that Ireland and that the National Maternity Hospital in St. Vincent's are going to be unique in this is really just delusional.
All right. Well, Luke, thanks for outlining all of that and clarifying exactly what the issue is at the heart of this. Before I let you go, Peter, I have to ask you about the World Health Organization suggesting that women of childbearing age should be advised against ever drinking during those years from the age of 12 to the age of 50. I suppose that would be the... what did you think when you got that word?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a realistic proposition, really. You know, I mean, heavy drinking causes problems in pregnancy. There's no question at all about that. And the baby's brain and developing brain is exposed to the same amount of alcohol. So I used to say to women, look, if you have a gin and tonic, your baby has a gin and tonic as well. So just kind of think about it. And if you have a two-year-old child sitting at the table with you during, you know, will you give it a gin and tonic or will you give it a glass of wine? No, you won't. So when you're pregnant and when you know you're pregnant, the thing is to cut right back on alcohol consumption and preferably give it up altogether, although there's no evidence that the occasional glass of wine causes serious problems for babies in the future. But I think to propose that women don't drink at all, really, women have a hard enough time of it as it is, but now they're being denied one of the pleasures of life. I don't think it'll stick, really, to be honest with you.
All right. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. That's Peter Boylan, a former master of the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street and author of the book In the Shadow of the Eighth.